Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So I was so surprised here that a book author would allow a publisher to misspell his or her name, or to reverse the first and the middle name, like with Constance Victoria Briggs last week, where I mistakenly read her name as it was inside the cover of the book, and it turned out that they messed it up. Now, I don't know about you, but if my books appear, and of course Chris Rutkowski will agree with me, if our books appear with misspellings in our names, we would freak. Is that a proper statement, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be correct. Although I'm rarely actually having my name spelled correctly in almost every forum. Of course, you, Stein Jeanberg, often have my name spelled correctly. So that's a bonus.
Yes, well, Mr. Kamrutsky, actually, I think we're the only forum that does spell his name correctly.
Probably, yeah.
Your middle initial's M, right, Chris? M for what?
No, it's A.
Oh, it isn't? Okay. Then I'm looking at a different Chris Rutkowski.
There are actually five different Chris Rutkowskis who are in media. I'm just one of them.
So what's your middle name, Chris?
It's Anthony.
Anthony. Okay, well, yeah, okay. I could see how people could get those two mixed up. Like with me, my first actual real legal name is Joseph. But it's just one of those things. There's lots of people like that because they get named after their parents, and to keep them from getting all mixed up, when they're calling people for dinner, they use their middle name instead, right? So maybe that was the case with Constance.
You can call her anything you want, just don't call her late for dinner.
And that's why.
Well, of course, we have John Charles Julian Lennon, who, of course, is Julian Lennon. You know what? The point I wanted to bring up with Constance Briggs is her book on moon mysteries. And the title sounded good, and the contents looked interesting. And it seemed, though, as if she plucked ideas out of the air or on the Internet and didn't bother to research them. So I know we gave her a hard time about George Adamski. Now, George, right, which everybody would do. But amongst all the crazy claims George Adamski made, other than just meeting a long-haired Michael Rennie in the desert named Orthon in 1952, was to claim to have flown around the moon in a spaceship.
Yeah.
Not, of course, having a clue about the moon. Maybe he was watching Radar Men from the Moon, the Republic movie serial, and got all his ideas from that. Actually, he flew in a Chrysler hubcap and ping pong balls.
Exactly, yeah.
Right, that's what they used. In any case, I corrected her, mentioned Howard Menger, which she also had in her book, and Billy Meyer, and quoting Michael Sala, and like that. And she was nice about it. And then I sent her some links to the special Adamski expose issue of Jim Moseley's Saucer News, which I think is one of the best things Jim put out. It's back in 1957. A link about Howard Menger backtracking on his contact claims in the mid-60s, where he thought maybe he was the victim of government testing, experimentation, or something like that. And then she says she's trying to back out of the show after the show has been recorded and submitted to the network. I didn't tell you this, Randall, or maybe you saw
it. No, but that's the first I've heard of that. So, yes, what was going on with that? Or should we even talk about that if that's the
Well,
case?
We just did. So, I think so it's worth it because I don't think she wanted to be corrected. The problem is here is that with the Paracast, if someone says something is wrong, even me, somebody's going to correct it. That's what we're here for, is to try to look for the truth.
Oh, man, if you think we're bad, you should listen to Kevin Randall's podcast. He'll just call him right out.
Tim Printy or, you know, some of those other ones, sure, yeah.
No, actually, I thought she was all right. Like, you know, I actually came to her defense a little bit because the book she's written is sort of an encyclopedic style book, right? It just has a bunch of different entries about different facets of whatever the subject matter is. Do we really need to put, you know, this person claims that this is what happened to them in front of every single sentence, or is it, you know, can we safely assume that this is just an article about what those people claim?
Yeah, but you have to look at it this way, too. What does George Adamski have to do with legitimate moon mysteries or any moon mysteries? Howard Menger, what does he have to do with it? These people had nothing whatever to do with anything related to a moon mystery in a practical sense. And so what was the point? I have no idea why they would be included, except there are people today, more so with Adamski, but there are people who still believe Adamski. After all these years, over 60 years ago, he was exposed as a fake in many, many ways, from the photos to things about his claims that just didn't stand up scientifically by what we knew about the moon. Forget about having Orthon come from Venus. What's the temperature on the surface of Venus now, Chris?
Yeah, it's up there. It's, what, 300 Celsius or something like that?
Okay, you get the point. It's summer there and cold of winter.
I don't mind getting some of the esoterica in these books. I mean, if you're to get a moon mysteries book that was just purely scientific, it wouldn't have any of those interesting little tidbits, which to me are interesting, and I'm able to determine, you know, what is obviously kind of out on the fringe and what's not. So, you know, I just find that I cut people a lot more slack for the cultural side of things. It doesn't always have to be about proof and truth and facts and everything else to be interesting, you know?
I just don't think George Adamski and Howard Menger have anything to do with lunar mysteries. Not that the mysteries have to be true.
Right.
Or we can have Martian mysteries and talk about the face on Mars, and there are people who will argue that as a point of science, allegedly, or as a point of look at the photographs, maybe they do look like someone's face. There are ways to legitimately debate that issue without some wacky old contactee saying he flew around the moon, that's a lunar mystery. No, it's not. It's a claim about flying around the moon. So maybe that was being too technical. The point being here, I'm going to ask Chris Rutkowski before we get into the more general UFO-related stuff. Are there any legitimate or semi-legitimate lunar mysteries that are interesting and worth someone's attention?
Absolutely. In fact, and I don't think she had this in her book, but my undergraduate thesis in astronomy was about transient lunar phenomena, which are lights and other interesting things that are observed from Earth to appear on the moon. And they've been examined for many, many years. In fact, Apollo astronauts had set up some experiments to test whether there's some outgassing from some residual volcanic flows deep within the moon. People have seen lights moving on the moon, red patches, and as a matter of fact, one of the Apollo experiments did detect transient fluctuations in certain levels of gazes on the moon, suggesting that there is some outgassing going on, even though technically the moon is dead. So I actually wrote about this back in the 1980s, something like that. And that was actually a thesis in undergraduate astronomy. And curiously enough, while I was working on that, I did, of course, a literature search, and I discovered that there was an observatory in the United States which was dedicated, one of the projects was dedicated to examining the moon for such transient lunar phenomena. And the director of that particular observatory program was a fellow that I had heard of in other contexts by the name of J. Allen Hynek.
We are going to have more with Chris Rutkowski. Gene and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $200 on our popular 3-month emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $200 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi. I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So the name J. Allen Hynek comes up in your research into lunar mysteries. Chris Rutkowski. Tell us
absolutely
more.
Yeah, and so he'd actually directed a program for observing the moon for unusual lights as an astronomical exercise. So that was very interesting, that you know, in a way, he was doing a, I don't know, an end run through scientific literature and research to study UFOs, not on Earth, but on the moon. So there are, in fact, a number of interesting lunar mysteries that continue to haunt astronomers. There's also another interesting mystery called maskons, mass concentrations that exist underneath the surface of the moon, which actually have to be calculated and understood when sending spacecraft and satellites to the moon, which they're going to be sending very soon, some more, because underneath the moon's surface is not uniform basaltic rock or whatever. There's actually large quantities and large patches of very, very dense material. And this has to do with the way it was formed and perhaps the way that things shifted around over the many millions of years. But if you actually send a satellite to orbit the moon in a circular orbit without taking into account that there's chunks of something under the surface that have a denser material that actually increase the gravity and decrease the gravity as you pass over, very soon, if you don't take that into account, the satellite will either spin off into space or crash into the surface of the moon. So there are, in fact, a number of very interesting mysteries that are associated with the moon, and you know, there's a whole wealth of information to examine.
What is your theory on how the moon was formed? I there's been three main theories, but which one do you favor?
Well, that's an interesting question. I've enjoyed all the various ones about the fact that it sort of was spat out of the Earth, and it was formed at the same time at the Earth, and that if something collided with the Earth. I suspect that it formed about the same time as the Earth, but you know, by golly, it's really tempting to look at some of the other theories that have been proposed over the years. And I actually don't know which is the prevailing theory right now. I suspect it's the one that was formed at the same time, but I've seen some suggestion recently about a collision in space that resulted in the moon being created. Not necessarily a Velikovskian billiard ball kind of thing, but something that occurred nearby the Earth. So it's, you know, there's still so much that we have to learn, and maybe some of the return trips to the moon to look for water and other minerals and, you know, things like that will help solve some of these mysteries.
Now, early on, there were all sorts of theories about the backside of the moon being something really weird. What do we know about the backside of the moon today?
Well, you know, it's faced a lot more bombardment, and the lava flows are mostly on our side, the ones that's facing the Earth, and that's why all the large maria are on our side of the moon that's locked into orbit. And that attests to the fact that, you know, any incoming comets are going to be impacting the side of the moon that's not locked into facing the Earth. So there are some interesting effects there. Of course, there are a few maria on the dark side of the moon, but it's very, very much rugged, very, very much more cratered than we see where the lava flows on the Earth side.
Aha, I think I just caught you in okay, dark side of the moon? Wasn't that a Pink Floyd album?
Yes.
And in that album, there's someone talking kind of in the background, and I believe he says something to the effect that as a matter of fact, it's all dark.
It's all dark, that's
it's
right.
It's all dark. I mean, really, there is no dark side of the moon, necessarily. I guess, you know, that some point or another, there will be a dark side and a light side, but it's not like the side facing away from us is always dark.
No. In fact, the moon, and there's no question that the sunlight falls on all parts of the moon. There are some interesting curiosity aspects to this in that there's an effect called libation, so that the moon actually does not, it's not exactly 50-50. You can actually see a little bit into the far side of the moon on occasion from one side or another, depending on how the libation effect manifests. So you can actually see, I think it's several degrees into the back of the moon from time to time. And some of the other interesting anomalies about the moon is that I, when I'm teaching some kids some basic astronomy, that the angular diameter of the moon is, of course, very, very close to the angular diameter of the sun. In fact, both can be covered up if you hold a simple aspirin or Tylenol or whatever you want to use at arm's length. Because when you ask people how big the moon is in the sky, people will say, oh, sometimes they'll say dinner plate or baseball or something like that, or even a dime. But the reality is it's actually very, very small in angular diameter compared to anything else. It only looks big because of what's called the moon illusion, that it appears to be much larger in the sky because we don't have reference points. But when it's lower on the horizon, it's going to look much, much smaller, even though that's when it tends to get a little bit distorted. So there is a wealth of interesting things that can be discussed about the moon.
Now, one of the theories early on, and this came from Major Keogh back in the 50s and others, is that maybe E.T., if E.T. were sending us flying saucers, they'd set up bases on the dark side of the moon, the back side of the moon, so we'd have real difficulty detecting them.
Well, you know, we're going to be setting up camp on the back side of the moon as well. One of the problems we have, of course, is that the Earth radiates so much radio signals that that a radio telescope has some issues, and in fact, optical telescopes have issues as well with because of the brightness of the Earth, even the ones that are in orbit. But if you put a telescope, radio or optical or what have you, on the far side of the moon, it's shielded from all that nasty interference from the Earth that we would get. And you'd be able to see and resolve things much, much better. So there are actually plans in the works to put a moon base on that other side of the moon so that we can see clearer and further into the universe.
Well, then if E.T.'s around, they will have to put a stop to it right away. Stop this practice. We can't have those silly Earthlings coming to the moon and messing up our wild parties.
Absolutely. They're not socially distant anyways.
Well, there is that, but they do wear masks, I understand. Unless they appear in 1950s Republic movie serials that cost, like $20 an episode called Radar Men from the Moon. I don't know if Chris Rutkowski ever saw some of those old movies.
I catch them occasionally on the channels overnight, and some of them are a lot of fun.
We've got Chris Rutkowski and Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki.
The Biden administration continues to look for more space to house an increasing number of migrants illegally crossing the southern border. Immigration and Customs Enforcement will take over several hotels in the Chandler, Arizona area to hold migrant families for processing. Congressman Brad Wenstrup recently visited the southern border, and the Ohio Republican tells Fox News that the conditions at the border are benefiting the cartels.
So the situation is inhumane. I mentioned just briefly Health and Human Services policy. Well, guess what? That policy is not the policy of the cartels. And so you have women and children that are being trafficked, and the cartels and smugglers don't follow the rules, and they are the ones that are benefiting from this. this. The policies that have been put in place, we learned, are clearly benefiting the cartels, because not only are they making money by bringing people across, they're also making money because more of their drugs and weapons and things like that that they smuggle.
This is USA Radio News. President Biden's so-called border czar, Roberta Jacobson, says she's stepping down at the end of the month. USA Radio Network's Wendy King reports.
She told the New York Times her position as border coordinator was temporary and was always planned to last only 3 months. Jacobson's departure comes amid a spike in immigration at the southwest border that has strained federal officials who are trying to deal with unaccompanied minors. The number of migrants stopped at the southwest border in March rose to the highest monthly level in more than 20 years. That includes some 18,000 unaccompanied minors, more than twice the figure seen in February. 18,000 unaccompanied minors, more than twice the figure seen in February. The Pentagon has already granted approval for the Department of Health and Human Services to house unaccompanied minors at Joint Base San Antonio and at a temporary housing facility at Fort Bliss near El Paso, Texas. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
You know, speaking of one of those early movie serials, one of the earliest roles from Leonard Nimoy, where he learned how to play an alien, was in Zombies of the Stratosphere.
And he's been typecast. That's what happened.
That's it. Live long and prosper. Let's get to some more current stuff about our corner of the world. And I'll preface this by actually a newsletter I wrote that I'm sure Chris didn't read, but that's okay. I'll forgive him. And it was about recent positive statements from government officials about UAPs, UFOs. Now, one of them came from John Lee Ratcliffe, former DNI, former congressman and director of national intelligence in the U.S., about this Pentagon UAP task force and expectations and something interesting is going on. He was quoted quite credibly. Problem, of course, with Ratcliffe is that he is tainted politically, because he made some statements during the last administration when he was DNI about the Chinese being involved, key players in interference in the 2020 presidential elections. Only his intelligence people said, no, it was Russia and Iran. So, you know, he kind of got himself mixed up in politics. And the question would be, therefore, why listen to him about UAPs if his other statements aren't quite so honest to come by? But we have other candidates. And I'm going to ask you about this, how much you watch the statements by politicos or people who've worked in government in the U.S. that are positive, like directors of the CIA. Now, you think if a director of the CIA says something that we should investigate UFOs, something positive, that's important, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, and I think when you have people in positions like that who certainly have access to more information than we do, and they suggest that there's something worth looking into in terms of UFOs, you tend to have to pay attention to that. Now, the trouble is that we don't know the context that they're giving this information. You know, when you're looking at post-structuralism and post-modernism, it's all who's doing the talking, what's the motivation, why are they saying it, what's behind it all. And we don't really know what's behind it all. We do know that there's a lot of interest for one reason or another in objects that are buzzing or flying around certain military installations and certainly Navy vessels. In fact, just over the past little while, we've seen some photos and videos being posted about a number of approaches of UFOs to Navy vessels off the coast of California. And, you know, they seem to come from good sources. They're formally classified from what we know. They're attested to by a number of officials. But we don't know the context. Things can be released as formerly secret, and the photographs are verified that they're actual real photographs. But we don't know exactly what the context is because we don't have access to the entire batch of information that's necessary to properly evaluate. Now, and some of the stories are really a little tenuous. I mean, when Marco Rubio said that he knows that some of these ships are able to break the sound barrier without causing sonic booms and things like that, well, that comes from hearsay. That doesn't actually come from documentation. So where is he getting his information from? And where is that person getting the information from? So there's a lot of questions that this information and these claims give rise to, and without the context, without all the information, they're really just second and third hand stories. So I think most people would really like to believe that this stuff is true, and people might have a lot of time and effort invested in the possibility that these things are true, but without any serious quantitative evidence, we really can't evaluate them. It sort of makes you shrug your shoulders and say it could be just one of those things.
All right. With Senator Rubio, a Florida Republican, we can maybe look at political aspects to what he's saying, but where is the political demand to say something positive about UFOs? I don't think there are enough people in favor of UFOs in the United States for that to make a difference. I could see him making that statement because maybe it has some benefit. Maybe it helps his next campaign. I don't know. So there is that. And he, of course, was the acting head of the Senate Intelligence Committee when that revision was included in the defense authorization back in late 2020, where the UAP task force had to come up with a report in 6 months. But I'm looking at the statements, for example, from John Brennan, former head of CIA, R. James Woolsey Jr., also former head of the CIA, and their administrations are like 20 years apart. But it all starts, as far as we look at, with the first head of the CIA, Roscoe Hillencotter, also was an Annapolis classmate of Major Donald Kehoe, and he was one of the original board members of NICAP talking favorably about UFOs. So we have three generations of CIA directors speaking positively and forgetting the context of any individual sighting. That's got to say a lot, don't you think, Chris?
Yeah, and again, you know, it's very interesting that we get these types of claims all the time, but remember that Blue Book itself, which we know was a kind of a whitewash job, but the conclusion was that there's really nothing there. Nothing to see here, folks, nothing of scientific importance, et cetera, et cetera. Everything was closed down, and information on UFOs in terms of the military has been largely a black hole up until fairly recently with the release of the Navy videos, for example. So one would say, okay, what's going on here? What's the political motivation? And I like your point, Gene, about, you know, there couldn't possibly be any, you know, political need to talk about UFOs right now. I'd have to agree to a certain extent because, you know, there's so much else going on between COVID and infrastructure and, you know, the budget and so forth. There's so much more that's more important, but at the same time, there's the right-wing conspiracy movement that's demanding more. And there was a statement just a few days ago on one of the networks that half of the voting Republicans currently believe that there is some sort of conspiracy involving or into the politics right now of one party versus another and a rejection of the current status. That's a lot of people that are, you know, voting members of the public.
More specifically, that group does not believe that Joseph R. Biden Jr. is the lawfully elected president of the United States, half the Republican Party. Now, I know some of you rag on the PowerCast because they perceive that we're beginning to get political. This is not a political statement. It's a statement of fact. It's based on the polling. You can decide whether you agree with the people who have that view, and I'm sure some of you do, or you disagree and you think you're dead wrong. But that's not the situation. The situation is painting a picture of the condition of this country, which is also something we have to consider when we evaluate UFOs and other issues. Think about that. Now, on the other hand, whether they liked it or not, most Democrats did accept the fact that Donald Trump was elected president in 2016. So that's the comparison. I don't know what to tell you except that we've got more to come with Gene, Chris, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea helps build the red corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
I think the point here is that, Chris Rutkowski, we have a situation here where in the U.S. we have tens of millions of people living in polar opposite realities. It's like a multiverse in the DC Comics universe.
Hey, I like that. That's good. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People's worldviews. I mean, I think if we could actually, even the people that we tend to think more or less the way that we do, I think if we could actually be inside of their mind for even 10 minutes, we would realize just how different their worldview is from our own.
Yeah, and I've spoken to a number of hardcore UFO fans and zealots over the past little while who have very, very strong political views that are at odds with a lot of other views. And yet they're really ardent about the whole UFO thing. So, you know, how much does that play into belief? Interestingly, when I was doing my undergraduate work in astronomy, I did a minor in psychology. And I actually was allowed to do an experiment on belief in UFOs.
And what do tell us more about
it. And what we did was, I worked with the head of the psychology department, and we got did a general survey of, I forget how many people, you know, several hundred people, 500, 600, 700 people, of general beliefs in strange things. Things like, you know, that the government is hiding UFOs, that Bigfoot exists, that the Loch Ness Monster is real, but also interspersed it with things about, you know, the current government of the and in Canada of the province is incompetent, that food prices are controlled and regulated by a conglomerate, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I think there was something like 50 questions, and we threw out all except the UFO ones and a few other ones that we kept in our back pocket. And so people either had to agree strongly that UFOs were real or disagree strongly that UFOs were real, divided them into two groups, and showed them a newscast that we prepared ourselves. It wasn't a real newscast, but it had actual newscasters who were on TV saying things like, you know, this UFO video that you're about to see has been verified by the government and definitely shows an extraterrestrial craft. And then the alternate one was to say, you know, this UFO video that was proposed to be an extraterrestrial craft is actually just a hoax and nothing to see here, folks. And we wanted to see if we could change the beliefs of the people who strongly believed in UFOs after they had this authoritarian view, say there's nothing to it, or the people who were so skeptical and debunking about UFOs that if they saw an authoritarian statement from a respected person saying that UFOs were real, could we change their belief? And it turns out that people's belief in UFOs is immutable. If you believe strongly in UFOs, it does not matter what I tell you, what proof I give you that there's nothing to it, you're going to believe it. And if you are an ardent disbeliever, nothing I tell you can prove and change your mind.
Okay, and, you know, I'm glad that this isn't one of those studies that cost taxpayers $200 million, you know, to get, because I think we probably could have come to that conclusion.
Well, but the,
without the study. I mean, it's fascinating, but, you know.
But to, yeah, the thing is, it was to empirically show it, that was really interesting. You know, we could have thought a few people, but virtually nobody would change their minds.
Well, you see, I think that's true about a lot of things. I mean, I talk to people in my travels because I am one of those people who still, although I'm vaccinated, I wear the mask, as the CDC says in the U.S., and I social distance. And I talk to people who don't. And so I ran into one person who says that the vaccine is responsible for all the COVID-19 deaths. It's because they took the vaccine, even though most of those deaths occurred before the vaccine was actually developed. And then I have another one saying, well, vaccines kill your immune system, which is, of course, the opposite of what they're supposed to do. The thing here is they are completely wedded to those beliefs. They live in that world with those beliefs. And I wondered, in terms of UFOs, people are cemented with their reality, just like I'm sure Constance was last week in our discussions with her. Are there any political breakdowns of people who believe in UFOs? Are they liberal, conservative, Republican, Democrat, etc.?
Oh, that's a good question. I vaguely recall a Roper poll, not a Gallup poll, a Roper poll from years ago now.
You're going to rope us in.
That were the, and it was, again, a throwaway question, you know, what was your political leanings or something like that, and then they asked about UFOs and ghosts and witches and all that sort of stuff. And I don't remember what the breakdown was now. But it has been asked, the question has been asked in some polls from time to time. But I don't recall the results.
I do recall, though, that there was there's been more than one of these studies, and you, maybe both you guys, maybe I'm off on this, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but whenever they've done these studies and looked at the education of the people involved, it's turned out that those who are favorable toward the idea of alien visitation tend to have higher educations.
Yeah. That's been done. Yeah, I was thinking specifically about a political leaning, but the connection, between education, and then I know they've done some gender differences studies and demographics as to where geographic distribution, that type of thing. The polls are actually quite interesting, and we're probably due for another one. In fact, Gallup sometimes sneaks these things in unexpectedly.
Got one. All right, here we go. Apparently here, and this was just a brief survey, this is the public policy polling survey. Roughly 21% of Americans believe aliens crashed at Roswell, but a sanity gap emerges when you take into account party affiliation. So this is back in 2013. 27% of Mitt Romney voters believe in the UFO cover-up, that's Republican, versus 16% of voters who backed President Obama in 2012, that, of course, the Democrat. Now, in the same poll, 13% of respondents believe that Obama is the Antichrist.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, Clinton, I mean, she was really kind of into the whole UFO thing, and I wonder how many people would have believed in UFOs who would have voted for her, maybe a higher percentage there, because it was a fairly public, it was pretty much public knowledge, I think.
Well, there are a lot of people in the UFO community who figured that Clinton was going to reveal all when she became president. And And that even that she was going to come out with a statement, even you know, even just to sway voters to try and get people to vote for her. So I don't know. I mean, it's almost all presidents in their analyses were you know, predicted to, you know, blow the whistle on the whole UFO thing. In fact, you would think that someone who was failing in the polls and possibly losing an election, if they really knew the truth about UFOs, they would pull it out as a wild card and reveal all, and that would certainly get more votes. So if that hasn't happened, then maybe there's nothing to show.
Well, in the case of Clinton and Trump, through most of the campaign, she was ahead in the polls.
Yeah.
And I don't know that her statement that UFOs should be taken seriously and correcting the all-night talk show host saying, remember, it's UAP, not UFO anymore.
Yeah.
That of course, was the influence of John Podesta, I suspect.
Right.
Regardless, I don't think it made a difference. Number one, of course, because nobody asked Trump, hey, what do you think about Clinton talking about UFOs? And you'd think he'd say, well, Crooked Hillary is a nut, and she falls over, and she's, you know, you'd think he'd say something provocative, but they never asked the question, and he's rarely been asked about UFOs, and strangely enough, when he is, his response was relatively straightforward, which to me surprises me.
Yeah. Well, it'd be interesting to see, because Kamala is, of course, on the Senate Intelligence Committee, too, or was, before she became vice president. And in theory, she should have access to the report in June, too.
Well, you see, I have this theory, too, I voiced here, and you can say something in our next segment, which is there have been suggestions already, I think, from Senator Rubio, that the report might be delayed. But what are you going to do if it's late? There's no consequence. More to come with Christine and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.